And I am going to read chapter 13 of The Lemonade Crime. Circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence. Indirect evidence that makes a person seem guilty. For example, if a suspect is seen running away from the scene of a crime, a jury might assume that he's guilty of the crime even though no one saw him commit it. Megan started with Jack. She asked him three simple questions and told him to answer with just one word, yes or no. Jack, did you ever see the money in Evan Short's pocket? No. Did you ever see Scott Spencer take anything out of Evan's pocket? No. Since that day, have you ever seen Scott Spencer carrying around $208? No. Then, one by one, she called Kevin, Malik, Ryan, and Paul to the witness stand and asked them all the same three questions. Their answers were all the same. No. Listening, Jessie felt miserable, but she was impressed. In less than 5 minutes, Megan had unraveled her whole case against Scott Spencer. The truth was, nobody had actually seen anything that day at the pool. It was all just guessing about what had happened to Evan's money. The whole time Megan was asking the witnesses questions, Jessie worried that Megan was going to call Evan to the stand for cross-examining. She knew that Evan would rather pull his hair out one strand at a time than get back on the witness stand, but instead Megan called a different witness, one that even Jessie didn't even expect. My last witness, Megan said to the jury, is Scott Spencer. Scott Spencer had been slouching forward, sitting on his ball, his elbows resting on his knees, his eyes on the ground. Now he had straightened up and squared his shoulders. He looked as surprised as anyone else to hear his name called out in court. I don't want to, he said. He looked defiantly at Megan and then at David as if he was going to challenge both of them to a fight. David pointed his gavel at him. Well, you have to. You've got to do what your lawyer says. Jessie was fairly certain that this wasn't true. She thought she remembered a rule that said you didn't have to testify against yourself in court, but she wasn't positive, so she didn't say anything. Scott stood up, shoving his basketball with his heel so that it rolled a few feet toward the back of the courtroom. He walked to the podium and put his right hand over his heart and raised his left. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Asked the judge. Yeah, said Scott, but he said it long and low, like the word was being pulled out of his mouth with a rope. I just have one question, said Megan, and it's an easy one. She put her hands on her hips and faced straight on. Did you really pay for your new Xbox 2020 with your own money? What? Scott said, as if he couldn't believe what he just heard. He turned to David Kay. I'm not going to answer that. I don't have to answer that question. Yes, you do, said David, or I'll hold you in contempt. He banged his gavel sharply, once to let Scott know that he was serious. Jessie looked at Scott and knew exactly how he felt. Everyone was staring at him. Well, not a single person made a sound. Even the branches of the elm tree stopped moving, the gentle rustling of the leaves dying down in silence. Remember, said Megan quietly, you're under oath. Scott made a sour face. No, I didn't. You happy? He smirked at Meg. My parents bought it for me. Everybody started shouting then. I knew it, said Adam. David had to whack his gavel about 10 times to get 4-0 to quiet down. The witnesses excuse, closing arguments. The prosecution goes first. Hurry up. Jessie stood up. This was supposed to be her big moment. I wrote a really great closing argument, she said, pulling some index cards from her back pocket, but I guess we don't have time for that. So I'll just say this. She walked over to the jury box. 12 pairs of eyes stared right back at her. Some of the jurors, like Adam and Sally, knew well enough, but most of them she hardly knew at all. Now they were going to look at her. Everyone in the jury box was waiting to hear what she had said. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, she began. The facts are the facts. The money was in Evan Short's, safely folded up in Jack's room. Scott went into Jack's room and then went running home, just like a guilty crook. When Evan went upstairs, his shorts were unfolded and the money was gone. It doesn't take a genius to solve this crime. In the end, it comes down to who's telling the truth. So think of all of these years you've known Evan Trusky and all these years you've known Scott Spencer and ask yourself, who do you believe? Jessie stuffed her index cards back in her pants pocket. She hadn't even gotten to use them, and she'd spent all that time writing a really great closing argument. This trial was nothing like what she thought it would be. Okay, done, said David. Now the closing arguments for defense. Fast, Megan. Megan stood up and walked to the jury box. "Here's the thing," she said. "You can't convict Scott because there's absolutely no proof. It's all just us imagining what happened. We don't know for sure because nobody saw anything, and the money never turned up. So we just don't know. And I guess we'll never really know what happened that afternoon." Megan looked at David. "That's it," she said. "Done," shouted David, banging his gavel against. "Jury, make your decision." "My mom's here," said Sally Knight, noticing a car parked in the parking lot. "So is mine," said Carly Brownell. "Jury, huddle up," shouted Adam. All 12 members of the jury formed a tight circle, their heads bowed together and their backs to the courtroom. Jessie stood up, then sat down, then stood up again. She felt that dangerously bubbly feeling she sometimes gets in her stomach. She started to think, if she had to throw up, where would be the best place to do it? Behind the podium? Behind the trees? Could she make it to the bathroom in time? She wished she could talk to Evan, but one look at him told her she better stay clear. His mouth was clenched so tight, it looked like he would bite through his own teeth. "Break!" shouted Adam, clapping his hands together. The jury huddled, broke up, and Jessie saw Adam quickly scribble something on a slip of paper and then handed the paper to David. "All rise to hear the verdict of the jury," she said. Said David. Everyone stood. Jessie felt her breath catch in her throat. She tried to swallow, but it was as if the muscles in her neck were paralyzed. A picture swam into her head, standing in front of the whole class and apologizing to Scott Spencer. "My mom's coming over," said Carly, pointing to the parking lot. Jessie turned to see a tall woman wearing sunglasses and a baseball cap heading toward them. "Hurry up," said Adam. "Okay," said David, his voice rising to a squeak. "I'm supposed to say all this official stuff, but I guess I'll just read the verdict out loud. The verdict is not guilty." "Yes," shouted Spencer, jumping up in the air and double pumping both fists over his head. "I win, man. I cannot wait for Monday morning." But nobody else moved, and nobody said a word. Something had gone terribly wrong out here on the playground. In the shade of the elm trees, away from the scolding eyes of the duty teachers and parents and kids in 4-0, had created a court all their own and followed all the rules, but somehow come out with the wrong answer. Jessie felt it, and so did everyone else. Jessie was sure of it. "Are we done?" asked David, holding his gavel aloft. "Jessie?" Jessie nodded. "The court is adjourned," David said and hit his gavel once on a wooden block, just as Carly Brownell's mother came up alongside her daughter. "What are you kids playing?" she asked. "Nothing," said Carly. She picked up her book bag and headed for the parking lot with her mother. David stuffed the black robe and gavel into his brown paper bag and headed for the path. About half of the other kids followed, but the rest of the fourth graders stayed where they were, and all of a sudden a voice sliced through the air. "This is not over." Evan was standing with the basketball in his hand. "You and me," he said, poking Scott Spencer in the chest so hard. Scott took a step back. On the court, the basketball court.